Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1, Texts 1 and 2, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Text number 1, I'll chant and give the translation, then together we'll chant text 2. Sri Raja Vacha, Swayambhu Vasyeha Guru, Vangsho Yang Vistarachuta, Yatra Vishva Srijang Sargo, Nanu Nanyan Vadasvana. King Parikshit said, O my Lord, my spiritual master, now I have fully heard from your grace about the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu. But there are also other Manus, and I want to hear about their dynasties. Please describe them to us. Verse 2. Manvantare Hare Janma Karmani Cha Mahiyasaha Trinanti Kavayaha Brahman Tani Naha Vada Srinivatam Manvantare Hare Janma Karmani Cha Mahiyasaha Krinanti Kavayo Brahmans Tani No Vada Srinivatam Manvantare Hare Janma Karmani Cha Mahiyasaha Krinanti Kavayo Brahmans Tani No Vada Srinivatam Manvantare, during the change of manvantaras, one Manu following another. Harer, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Janma, appearance. Karmani, and activities. Cha, also. Mahiyasaha, of the Supremely Glorified. Grinanti, describe. Kavayaha, the great learned persons who have perfect intelligence. Brahman, O learned Brahmana, Shukadev Goswami, Tani, all of them. Naha, to us. Vada, please describe. Srinivatam, who are very eager to hear. Translation. O learned Brahmana, Shukadev Goswami, the great learned persons who are completely intelligent, describe the activities and appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead during the various manvantaras. We are very eager to hear about these narrations. Kindly describe them. One point, Prabhupada during class, he told the devotees, when the curtains or the doors of the deity open or close, devotees may simply offer their respects by folding their hands, because Krishna is also present in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam being spoken, so as not to interrupt the concentration, presuming that we're concentrating.
On that point also, I've seen devotees in kirtan, in the door of the closing, they'll stop kirtan.
Right, in the middle of kirtan, they'll stop the kirtan to bow down.
That's wrong.
It's incorrect. Confirmed by Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami is the authority on Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes, the original.
So, I'll read the verse again. Manvantare hare janma karmani chamahiyasaha grinanti kavayo brahmans tani no vadashrinvatam. O learned Brahmana, Shukadev Goswami, the great learned persons who are completely intelligent, describe the activities and appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead during the various manvantaras. We are very eager to hear about these narrations. Kindly describe them. Guru Sri Yathapadakamalam Sri Gurunda Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahadana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijanasahitam Krishna Titanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shripisha Kanvitam Cha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschakta Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Moving into the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate, the scientific presentation of knowledge of God by which those who are eager to hear, as is mentioned in this verse, those who are eager to hear, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, they can be liberated from all material inebrieties and understand Krishna and go to Krishna. So here we see that Parikshit Maharaj is very eager to hear from Shukadev Goswami, who is systematically presenting knowledge of God, and following in the disciplic line from Shukadev Goswami, we are also very thankful, as Parikshit Maharaj was thankful to Shukadev Goswami, to hear from Srila Prabhupada the Bhaktivedanta purports on Srimad Bhagavatam, which clarify the matter. The matter is already clear, but because our heads are muddled, because our consciousness is muddled and unclear, therefore, just to make it absolutely 100% clear, without any room for speculation, we have this system of hearing from the Acharya, who repeats the message as is heard in disciplic succession, and specifically explains each point where there may be some room for misunderstanding. Just as Prabhupada has clarified in this purport, this is a common point of misunderstanding, especially in India, and as we are now living in the world of mass communications, Indian culture is going all over the world, or Vedic culture is going all over the world, and the misconceptions are being exported also. So this is a very common misconception that there may be many incarnations just by imagination. There are so many imaginary incarnations. In India there are many. The number is increasing every day. And some of them have become popular outside of India also. But those who get Srila Prabhupada's books and read them, unless they are very much covered over by the modes of material nature, they will understand that very simple point which Prabhupada gives here. Without reference to the Shastras, there can be no question of accepting anyone as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this immediately disqualifies so many, all of the bogus incarnations. You can just throw them all in the trash heap. Directly, throw them all, reject them. Who is not described in the Shastra? Reject. Of course, there are many people who approach spiritual life, or what they consider to be spiritual life, in a sentimental way. Ardha kakoti nyay, half a chicken philosophy, means they want to take part of the Shastra which they like and not give importance to another section which they don't like. Half a chicken philosophy means that there was once an intelligent demon, so-called intelligent, who had a hen, and he used to feed the chicken every day and get one egg every day. But he thought, I like the back half of this chicken because I get an egg every day and I make my omelette. As you get on the train, everyone is eating omelette, boiled eggs and all such nice things. So he's getting an egg every day, but he doesn't like to feed the animal every day. So he thinks the back half of the chicken is very good, the front half is not very good because it costs me money to feed. Therefore, let me cut off the front half of the chicken and I'll only keep the back half. So the end result is he doesn't get any eggs. He only has a dead chicken. So in the same way, those who want to take part of the scripture but not other parts, then you don't get the scripture. You get some kind of concoction. So this is what is going on in India today. Concoction. What is going on in the name of Hinduism is concoction, hodgepodge ideas. So many bogus ideas. Practically, sometimes people ask us, what is Hinduism? We can give the answer that if you take all the bogus ideas in the world and somehow put some kind of Indian masala, some kind of Indian flavor with them, that is Hinduism. So, this very common idea, that anyone can be an incarnation. Those who are going in the name of incarnation, so many today, they are all rascals who are claiming themselves to be God, or whose followers claim them to be God. We can very clearly and straightforwardly say they are rascals. This may offend the sentiments of the followers. Not may offend, it will offend the sentiments of their followers. But their followers are also rascals. This we can categorize. Namang dushkritino mudha prapadyante naradamaha maya aparita jnana asurang bhavamashrita. Who is not surrendered to Krishna? Krishna says, they are all rascals, either category 1, 2, 3, or 4. Means they may be in category 1 rascal, mudha. Simply, they are working like an ass, how to get some money, but they are not concerned with the ultimate goal of life. So such a mudha may approach a so-called incarnation of God for some blessings. That I will worship this so-called incarnation, I will accept him as God, and he will give me some blessings so that by my hard work, my business may prosper more and more. Another kind of rascal is Naradhama, lowest among mankind. He feels, I have no time to study so much philosophy, all these big books. No time for this. So therefore, I'll just go to some bogus incarnation of God, and he will bless me, and my whole spiritual life is finished. Or another kind of Naradhama, Maya Aparita Jnana, means someone is apparently very intelligent, but his real intelligence is taken away by Maya, is covered by the illusory energy of Krishna. So sometimes we see that there are some bogus incarnations of God, and well-placed, even very high government ministers, and even we see people who have degrees in science, they worship them as God. So we may think that, well, very intelligent people are worshipping them as God, so isn't that a good reason to accept them as God? According to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, no. They are only apparently intelligent, but their real intelligence is covered by the illusory energy of Krishna. Spiritual intelligence, or the intelligence to understand what is actually correct and what is material intelligence, these two are not necessarily this material intelligence and spiritual intelligence are not necessarily present in a person. Someone may be very materially intelligent but spiritually a fool. This we can see. Someone may have a degree in physics or something like this, but if he worships some bogus person as an incarnation of God, it means he may be materially intelligent, but spiritually he's foolish. Because even though he has a degree in science, he doesn't approach spiritual life in a scientific way, only in a sentimental way. If he sees that someone can do some magic tricks which defy the law of physics as he knows them, therefore he considers, oh, this person is doing something beyond the laws of nature, therefore he is controlling the laws of nature, therefore he is God. Not a very scientific approach, because within the laws of nature, of course, not within the laws of nature as known by modern physicists, but there are within the laws of nature certain powers which are called siddhis, which yogis can attain. These powers such as the ability to vanish, or the ability to bring something from somewhere. He can just take it. Prabhupada gave that example. One yogi, when Prabhupada was a child, this yogi took some pomegranates from Istanbul, from Afghanistan, brought them fresh into his room in Calcutta. So by prapti siddhi, one can make things appear. Just, he may show the empty hand, close it, and then some ashes, or maybe if you're more lucky, a gold watch, and he will make it appear. But this is within the laws of nature. It is not something which ordinary people can do, but those who have acquired mystic powers, they can do it. But this does not mean that they are God. God, he performs wonderful activities. here in this Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 8, we are going to hear about Urukrama, Vamandev, who performed wonderful activities. Now, these wonderful activities, they are not some minor wonderful activities, such as making a gold watch appear. But God's wonderful activities are stepping over the whole universe in two steps, for instance. His very small form, everyone is seeing, what a nice little boy, how beautiful he looks. And then, when he takes two steps, he covers the whole universe. This kind of activity, showing the universal form, not showing some ashes. This is not God. So those who are, they may be materially intelligent, but not spiritually intelligent, they may accept some ordinary person or a person who has abilities which from our viewpoint appear to be extraordinary, they may accept him as God. So God, he is not only extraordinary, but extraordinarily extraordinary. Far surpassing any great yogi, even Brahma, who has so much power, it makes these imitation incarnations, they're even nothing compared to the great demigods. And even the great demigods like Brahma, thinking themselves very powerful, their power is insignificant in relationship with Krishna. As we will discover from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, how Lord Brahma thought he was very powerful, and he is powerful. He's more powerful than anyone else in the universe. But his power seemed completely insignificant when he tried to compare it to Krishna's power. Therefore, from Shastra we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and anyone who claims themselves to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, except Krishna, is a rascal. And anyone who accepts anyone else except Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they may be materially very intelligent, but spiritually they are a fool and therefore also a rascal. Another example I can give in my own experience of someone who was materially very intelligent but spiritually foolish in accepting someone who is not God as God was that in Bangladesh, one of our supporters or helpers for many years, still is, was previously the permanent financial advisor to the government of Pakistan until Pakistan got split into Pakistan and Bangladesh, and then he lost his job. But anyway, he was, because he was from Bangladesh. So he was the financial advisor, which means very intelligent person. Not many intelligent people in Bangladesh, but undoubtedly he was very intelligent from any point of view, even compared to any American or whatever. Very intelligent person. But he happened to be from one area of Bangladesh where there were... One area of Bangladesh means every area of Bangladesh, there's at least one incarnation of God. The area he was from, there were two. So he happened to be a votary of one so-called incarnation of God, whose name was Jagat Bandhu. So I asked him, how can you accept this person as an incarnation of God? Is one of the criteria is that he should be mentioned in scripture. So he thought about it for some time, and after some days he came back and said, yes, his name is mentioned in scripture. If you see in the Vishnu Sahasranam, the name is there, Jagat Bandhu. So therefore, this proves that he's an incarnation of God. Of course, the name mentioned in scripture should mean that he's specifically referring to such a person. His name should be there, his father's name, the village he will appear in, and at least a summary of his activities. Now, if just by his being called Jagat Bandhu, that is, because the name Jagat Bandhu is in scripture, he should be accepted as an incarnation of God, then by India's good fortune, so many young men, so many children at birth, are given names like Govinda, Gopala, Vrindavan, then they should also be incarnations of God. Here we have in Bombay one actor, film actor, called Govinda. So is he... An incarnate, is he Govinda, the original Govinda? No, by good fortune, his parents gave him such a name. By bad fortune, he didn't follow the path of Govinda. He followed a different path. But you just see how this gentleman, even though he has good intelligence materially, he can't think that just because this person has been called Jagat Bandhu after the original Jagat Bandhu, Jagannath. Therefore, he's been accepted as an incarnation of God. Just out of sentiment, because he came from the same village area, he thinks, oh, this is our God. Just like you see in Gujarat, they have their own incarnation of God. Because we're Gujaratis, we're very special, so we should have our own incarnation of God. And in South India, we won't follow the Gujarati, we have our own fuzzy-haired, ugly incarnation of God, for Bangalore area. So, like this, they think that just our own area, he's from our area, and I'm from Gujarat, he's from Gujarat, so I'm very special, Gujaratis are very special, he appeared in Gujarat. This must be the proof that he's incarnation of God. What logic they use, I don't know. But Maya Aparita Jnana, their knowledge is taken away by Maya. So that even though materially they may be very intelligent, when it comes to spiritual matters, they talk all nonsense. This is particularly the gift of Mayavad. Shankaracharya has given a system whereby you have to have much intelligence to even follow all the Sanskrit, how it's written. It requires much intelligence even to begin to consider what he's talking about. Because very complex the way he presents his philosophy. It has to be very complex because it doesn't make any sense. So if you state it straightforwardly, everyone can immediately see that it doesn't make sense. Shankaracharya's philosophy is that there is no difference between anything. Everything is all the same. Actually, this is complete nonsense. But people who read these books of Mayavad, they read it and they somehow it's written in a very complex manner, so they think that it's very intelligent to follow this. And their brains become so confused that if you point out the obvious fact, as happened in the village the other day, we were talking with one man, that, well, my dear sir, this is a fan. It is not an umbrella. Can you say it is exactly the same as an umbrella? Well, maybe in a higher sense. There's no way that a fan can be said to be the same as an umbrella. We may ask him in the rainy season to take one fan outside to protect him from the rain. And even you can give more graphic examples. If you say that food and stool are the same thing, then why not eat stool? It'll be cheaper. You can recycle. You pass, you eat. You pass, you eat. It will be cheaper. Mayavad is so foolish. Practically, it's not even worth discussing. The tenets of Mayavad, that everything is all the same. Everything is all one. There's no difference between one thing and another. It's so foolish that it doesn't even bear discussion. It's not even worth discussing, practically. But people, it's been presented in such a quasi-intellectual manner that people think that it's very intelligent to propound this philosophy. They have the idea that I was speaking with a Mayavadi. He was not just a village Mayavadi, but real Paka Mayavadi. So I was saying that in the scripture, if you see original scripture, then there's talk of bhakti. So how can you say that this is original scripture states, we have scripture, Janadhyasayataha is explained that Satyam Param Dhimahi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Original scripture points to Krishna, to bhakti. Bhagavad Gita is eternal, spoken millions of years ago. Krishna says, Bhakti Amama Vijanati. Jai Nithai Gauram. Still have under. Okay.
We just told everybody that all they had to do was this. Everybody off the reservation?
Yes. It has just been said that when the doors open or close during class, one should offer one's obeisances like this. But because, presumably, when it was said, weren't listening. Therefore, the message has not got through. You can't hear? I'm speaking too fast, and the sound is reverberating. All right, I'll say it slowly. During the class or kirtan, when the doors or curtains of the deities open or close, Srila Prabhupada's instruction is that devotees should simply fold their hands to offer obeisances so as not to interrupt the flow of the class or kirtan.
Now I ask somebody in the audience to repeat it, to stand up and repeat.
Hanuman, kindly stand up and repeat what I just said.
We also bow down? No.
So Maya Aparita Jnana. So I was saying that original scripture points to Krishna, to bhakti, and Shankaracharya brought something else. So his insight on this is that was given at the beginning when people were less intelligent. But as people evolved more, then when the time was right, Shankaracharya came and gave the real understanding for those who are more intelligent. Just see, this is mature rascaldom, very carefully thought out rascaldom. That which is given at the beginning of creation by Krishna, he very clearly says in Bhagavatam, we have Ritertam na pratiyeta, Ritertam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. He very clearly says at the beginning of creation to Brahma, the most intelligent person in the creation, that anything which is conceived of outside of reference to me is meaningless, nonsense, including Mayavad. So Maya Aparita Jnana and Asurang Bhava Mashrita, those who are very severely taken of the demoniac nature, then they also follow all demoniac conclusions, such as accepting a bogus person as an incarnation of God. And we find this often, that even if we present logic, shastra, so many reasons, that those who are of demoniac mentality, they will not accept, even if they're proved wrong in argument, even if their points are obviously absurd, they won't accept, because their nature is demoniac. They don't want to surrender to Krishna. Even if it's pointed out that the fan is different from the umbrella, still they will say, well, even if it is different, I don't see why I should surrender to Krishna. Their whole point is how to avoid Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada, how he was preaching, straightforwardly, to the point, making everything clear, not compromising, not wishy-washy, not sentimental, presenting the points clearly. Prabhupada said, my books are those who are for more sincere. So we're seeing this, as Prabhupada's books are distributed, people, they get, those who are more sincere, they read, they appreciate. This we find all the time. Just 2-3 days ago, I met one nice couple. They were very much appreciating Prabhupada's books. How that they're from pious background, and we used to follow so many things. Now we only follow Krishna because we've read Prabhupada's books. We understand that as Prabhupada has presented, as ISKCON is presenting, this is the only correct way. Everything else is wrong. Prabhupada has shown us clearly. So in this Prabhupada centennial year especially, one of the points we want to emphasize, this point which Prabhupada himself emphasized more than others, he emphasized so many different programs, but especially he emphasized distribution of his books, because by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, those who are more sincere, they will appreciate. And those who are not sincere, they will also become sincere by giving a donation and taking these books. By hearing the Harinam, taking prasadam, attending festivals, this all creates an atmosphere in which people can become receptive to hear the message of Krishna. So all these activities, we are simply making an atmosphere to bring people in so that they can hear the message of Krishna. Hear the message of Krishna means read Prabhupada's books and also hear from the devotees who should also be reading Prabhupada's books so that they can state the fact very clearly. Especially here in India, we see many people who are piously inclined, but they are misled, for instance, by bogus incarnations of God. So we should know the philosophy very clearly so that when people come, we can teach them what is the actual fact. People are misled, therefore, despite their piety, they may even come to the temple, chant Hare Krishna, say it's very nice, and then go home and worship Krishna at home along with all the different bogus incarnations. So our aim is to bring people in and to give them the actual philosophy as it is, sarvadhaman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. Clean up people's lives, clean up their altars. We can go into their homes, clean up their bookshelves. We can relieve them of many unwanted things. Krishna consciousness means anartha nivritti, to become free from anarthas. Anartha means, for instance, attachment to everything which is not favorable for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So people are thinking, chant Hare Krishna, chant Shivoham, it's all the same. Worship Krishna or worship some bogus incarnation, worship all the demigods, it's all the same. It's not. It is different. By following one path you get one result, and following another path you get another result. It is not that all the paths are the same. So these things we have to understand very clearly. Prabhupada has put everything in his books. We have daily class to understand these points. We should ourselves be fixed in these points, not sentimentally thinking that, well, maybe Swami so-and-so is okay. If he's not surrendered to Krishna, then he's not okay. That philosophy, I'm okay, you're okay. Prabhupada said, I'm okay, you're not okay. That was his rejoinder to the I'm okay, you're okay. Everything's all right, everything the same, everything nice. No. If one is following the path of Krishna as given by Guru Sadhu Shastra, evam parampara praptam, according to parampara, then his position is okay. And if not, then you're not okay. So this we should understand clearly ourselves. Understand means studying Prabhupada's books very carefully so that we can convince others also. Now, here we see that in India, in this Prabhupada centennial year, the book distribution has started best in India. Top two places in January go to one, Mayapur, well ahead of Bombay, in number two position. So this is very auspicious for devotees living in India. There's very great scope for increasing the distribution of books more and more and more. Let us take advantage of this spirit which is being evoked in Prabhupada's centennial year. Now we have so many more congregational members coming also. Let us try and engage everyone more and more in this distribution of books. The BBT devotees, they have a problem that they're overworked, so let us give them more problem. Let us finish all their books. Keep them busy. Go on distributing books more and more and more in this centennial year. Hare Krishna. Acha. All right, very good news. I was saying that Bombay was number two behind Mayapur. But if we put Radha Gopinath Temple together with Radha Rasbihari Temple, then Bombay goes well ahead of Mayapur. Ki Jai! We also have two other temples, Binda and Mira Road.
Yes.
Two in one.
Because Mayapur has about 500 or 600 devotees, and we're much less than that, even all in terms of living in the ashram.
So we're doing more with less. I also saw that Nayan Ranjan was way ahead in the full set distribution. This is one program which in Bombay especially can be very, very big, because so many people, they know us here in Bombay and they have money to buy these books. We have all Prabhupada's books in Hindi now also, as well as English. So there's very great scope to get well ahead with this full set. So everyone can try. So many devotees are going out preaching. People like Mr. Sharma, they have their friends and clients. Sell them full sets. Last time I saw, I asked you to keep some books in your office. Are you doing it? Good. Anything else? Any other point? Please.
You were talking just now about Mayavadi. Sometimes very, very difficult. Recently I have attended one program and very old person, 90 years, thousands and thousands of people, you know, most of them are Marwadis, attending program from lectures in the last 30, 40 years. And really, I heard him very, very seriously, but I could not, you know, trace that, you know, where is Mayavad, but it actually is Mayavad.
Yeah, sometimes it's difficult to even trace out a Mayavadi. Because usually the Mayavadis, when they give lectures on what? Krishna Leela, Ram Leela. Because what are they going to talk about? You are Brahma. What are they going to talk about? But no one's going to come and listen to them. They're not going to become famous or popular. So they talk about Krishna Leela, Ram Leela, Mahabharata, Ramayana. It's very nice. People like to hear that. And people say, oh, he's a great bhakta. And he may have Tilak, Vishnu Tilak also. But then, if you read the books, just like the books of Rams, was it that? Ram Sukhdas Ji Maharaj. They write so many books he's bringing out. So if you read his books, he'll say, I know because I was reading one for Hindi study. It says that you have to take shelter of the Paramatma. He was quoting from Gita. But then if you read, you go on, you see the book, it's taken from his lecture, you'll see that he doesn't differentiate between the Paramatma and the Jivatma. I'll show you, Fionn. I have here one of his books. So it may be very subtle. It may be very subtle how they present it. They're talking about bhakti, taking shelter of the supers of the Paramatma. They always say Paramatma, they don't like to say Krishna. They may occasionally.
They can't say the word.
They don't like to say, or even if they do, they qualify. They prefer to use the word. That we find that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the devotees were asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how is it that these Mayavadis, they always use words like Atma, Brahma, Chaitanya. They don't like to use words like Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that such a word, it doesn't come to their mouth because they have a different conception. Or even if they say Krishna, just like in Andhra Pradesh, they always say, when anyone says Krishna, they say Krishna Paramatma. It's like to bring him, just to make sure you don't think he's Bhagavan. Paramatma, it's all right to say Paramatma, it's not wrong, but their concept is that means Paramatma, well, I'm also Paramatma. They like to qualify that he's great, he's supreme, but not that supreme. We're also on the same level. So very subtle. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned, Sanatana Goswami warns, don't listen to these people. Be very careful who you listen to. Many times our devotees, especially Hindi-speaking devotees, they like to hear from people who are so-called great devotees. But by hearing from them, they get the wrong concept. I heard it when at Kumbh Mela in Allahabad, Prayag, when was that, 89. I listened to one of these Shankaracharya's lecture just to see what they're talking about. So the whole lecture is about Krishna Leela and Draupadi. She put up one hand and she put up two hands, so you have to fully surrender to Krishna. I was listening. Sounds all right. And then at the end, he finished his lecture by saying that, and what you have to understand, the most important thing is that you are all God. This was the conclusion of his lecture on bhakti. So we have to be very careful. They are misrepresenters. They don't have faith in Krishna. They are more dangerous. That Chanakya Pandit says, a snake with a jewel on its hood is more dangerous. A snake is dangerous. If you see the jewel, you may be attracted by the jewel. So someone may be attracted by the presentation. How this Ram Sukhdas Ji Maharaj is getting thousands of people to come? Because his manner of speaking is very nice. And he speaks in such a way that he's very concerned about you, how you should live your family life. Be good. This is their whole... They all give off this... All these Mayavadis, they all give off this mood. Be good. Be moral. Don't speak nastily to anyone and respect your mother and father. They speak on moral principles. And people think this is wonderful, this is spiritual. This actually keeps people in a lower concept of life. It doesn't bring people to the transcendental concept. We're not saying don't be good, don't respect your father and mother. But they present this as if this is the all-in-all of spiritual life. Therefore we see that often parents, when their children become interested in Krishna consciousness, they think, oh, that's very good. My son will become good. He won't be misled by drinking and wantonly mixing with girls. But then when they hear, now he's chanting 16 rounds and he doesn't even eat onions, then they become very concerned. They think to be religious is good, that you be good. But to be fully religious, where you're going to dedicate your life to Krishna, this is very bad. Better you go back, don't be good. Drink and go with girls and smoke. Don't be too religious. So this is all actually on the mundane concept of life. We see that, just like your Marwaris, they're all pious, they're all devotees, but they're all Mayavadis also, mixed up, so-called devotion.
So how to save them?
How to save them? With the older people, it may be more difficult. One way we can take donations from them, at least they'll give some donation. The younger people, preach to them strongly. When their brain is, when their mind is still open, preach to them strongly.
They chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Yes, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, they'll chant. That's why, along with chanting, we have to give books, philosophy. It's very important that we don't simply spread the chanting without giving the philosophy very clearly also. Otherwise we'll find, just like I got a letter, I showed you that yesterday, from someone who's been coming to our lectures, actually not exactly to our lectures, he's been associated with our devotees and with another Gaurya Vaishnav in Secunderabad for quite some years now. So this Gaurya Vaishnav, who I know, I respect, he's a nice devotee, he's not a Mayavadi, but he speaks in a way that people like it and they don't get upset, and he won't say in the public lecture things like Prabhupada says here, that bogus incarnations are all rascals. So he's quite popular and people come to him, and this person's been hearing from him for some time, he's been writing to me. So then in the letter I got from him yesterday, he said that, well, how is it that meat eating is wrong, because even Ramakrishna and Vivekananda, they used to eat meat and they were God-realized. So he's been chanting and hearing from us, or hearing from a Gaurya Vaishnava for some years, but he hasn't understood some very basic points, that namang duskritino mudha, those who are not surrendered to Krishna, they're all rascals. So it's necessary that we speak these things. We may increase the number of our devotees very greatly by giving half a chicken. That you chant Hare Krishna and you can also, you follow these principles. Many people in India, because they're pious, they're naturally inclined towards these things. And because of Mayavad, Mayavadis preach that everything is all the same and you should just be nice and be good. Therefore, they become upset when you say something that so-and-so, he's supposed to be a sadhu, but actually he's a rascal because he's not preaching surrender to Krishna, fully surrender to Krishna. So many people, they become upset when we say such things. Therefore, we don't like to say such things. But if we don't say such things, we're cheating them, because we keep them, even though they're chanting Hare Krishna, we're keeping them in a mundane concept of life. And by their chanting, they won't make advancement. They'll be committing offenses, such as considering all the demigods to be the same as Krishna, because they haven't been educated. The second offense is to think that the demigods are just the same as Krishna, or to maintain attachments to the bodily concept of life. So it.
They have no guru system, parampara.
Or they, kula guru. They accept some guru. just as a formality. So I would suggest among these older people, out of piety, they'll take a set of Bhagavatams. Give it to them. Their children will read it. And you can speak to their children also. Even middle-aged people, they may not be so far gone. Please. I was halfway through it when it was time for deity greetings. So it's tantalizing the way it's written. It's tantalizing the way it's written. Because he doesn't... He's examining the phenomena of miracles. Yes, demigods drinking milk is not part of the standard Archan Vidhi as given by Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. Another question? Please. Rishi. How is it possible to accept scripture? Interesting question. Different scriptures are presented for different people in different modes of nature. Just like in the Shiva Purana, there is directive for eating meat for those who are in the mode of ignorance. So how is it possible to accept the scriptures as a whole? It is possible to accept the scriptures as a whole by understanding their purpose and acting according to the purpose. The purpose of all the scriptures is Vedaischa Sarvairaham Eva Vedyaha. The goal of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. So if one comes to this point, then he has accepted the goal of the Vedas. Any other question? Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.